Hey, everybody out there. Welcome back. My name is Joe.
And I'm Carolyn.
And you're, in fact, listening to the one and only Carolyn and Joe Show. How's it going, Carolyn?
It is going awesome.
Hey, didn't we just get back from Awesome Con?
We did.
Hey, and weren't we just part of three exciting, absolutely amazing panels?
We were.
We did a live recording of the Carolyn and Joe Show with Theo Crane from The Walking Dead. We also did the District Comics panel, which you were a part of, which was actually another amazing panel. And then I had, what was it called? Pro Wrestling Today, How We'd Book It. Three awesome panels. And guess what, Carolyn? Is everyone going to be able to hear that on the Carolyn and Joe Show for the next 3 weeks?
Yes, they will.
Awesome. Absolutely awesome. But first, do we have any news?
Yeah, we do. This coming Saturday, Joe and I will be celebrating Free Comic Book Day at Laughing Ogre Comics at Fairfax, Virginia. It's right across the street from George Mason in University Mall, so we hope to see you there. And then on May 11th, Joe and I will be at ANS Sci-Fi and Comic-Con at Archbishop Neal School in La Plata, Maryland. Hope to see you there.
So, everyone at home, since if you were not at Awesome Con and you missed out on our panel, now's your chance to listen to it. You're about to listen to the live recording from Awesome Con of the Carolyn and Joe Show with The Walking Dead's Theo Crane. It was absolutely amazing, Carolyn. Did you have fun time doing it?
It was fun, and Theo was awesome. I can't wait for you all to hear it right now.
It's pretty much going to be uncensored, guys. So, you know what? We're not cutting anything out. This is going to be absolutely raw, uncensored. This is Theo Crane, uncensored, raw. Enjoy this. See you guys later. See you, Carolyn.
See ya, Joe.
Enjoy the show, everyone. All right. I want to welcome everyone. My name is Joe.
And I'm Carolyn.
You're, in fact, here for the Carolyn and Joe Show.
We should open the doors.
Let's open the doors. Let's, just like in Woodstock, let's bust it open. Maybe they can hear us.
Yeah, right.
Let us out! Open the door!
Open the doors.
Open the door! Can you leave the doors open?
Oh, yeah. She's eating a sandwich. She don't even care.
I mean, like, when I eat a sandwich, I don't care.
What's that? Oh, yeah.
She tried.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah, just so everyone knows, my name is Joe.
And I'm Carolyn. And we have a special guest joining us today here live at Awesome Con 2013, the first ever Awesome Con in Washington, D.C., Mr. Theo Crane.
I don't know if I need it or not.
I have no idea.
Spit guard.
I'm not going to lie, sir. Theo Crane, how tall are you?
I'm 6'8".
6'8". Now, when we were talking...
It happens.
When we were talking on Facebook, I know I promised you, right? I don't know if I promised, but I said, hey, Theo, I'm probably going to catch up with you on Saturday of the convention. And I'm not going to lie. I walked past you, and I saw how, like, tall and powerful and manly you were, and I was scared, sir. I was like, I don't know.
I was like,
he does a lot of horror conventions. He loves blood and guts, and I know he can destroy someone. I've seen it.
You thought I was going to get all Gary Busey, didn't you?
I thought that's what's going to happen. So, I don't know if you noticed, but Carolyn went and said hi to you this morning instead.
Just go and just see. I'm sorry. Just see if he'll kill us.
No, that's you cool. Are pretty intimidating, I have to say.
How?
But you're wearing like a teddy bear hat.
And that's intimidating. Well, I guess, wait, you gotta do the things there, the eyes.
I mean,
there we go. Oh. So inside, would you say like you have a like a heart of a teddy bear like type thing, but the body of a actual bear? Like, the heart of a teddy
speed
bear.
Speed of the puma. No, I mean, I'm just a dude. Like, I put my pants on. Actually, I once tried putting my pants on two legs at the same time.
How?
It's overrated.
I gotta try that.
Did you try to do like a jump into it?
I tried to jump, so I got new pants. And then I laid on my back, just put my feet in, and just stuck the landing. And you know what? I wouldn't recommend it. I mean, it depends on the pants.
It does depend on the pants.
It's the benefits of being a female. You can wear skirts. So
I want a kilt so bad. Oh, my God.
Stop you from getting a kilt. Do we have to be part of like a society to get the kilt?
Or? I don't know. No. I really don't know what stopped me from getting a kilt.
Because it's always like when you see people wearing kilts, it's like a gang.
Yeah, it is.
You know
what I mean?
You don't just see like, you do see one, but it's usually like, you know, like the family, but I usually see them in like.
But also like the Scottish, I've been to a Scottish parade before.
Uh-huh.
And like you said, like they're a gang. They have family traditions and the patterns on the plaid like mean something.
Tradition. You know, the thing about guys that wear kilts, and this has always been, I think this is what makes me most envious of guys that wear kilts. They look at you funny.
They look at us.
Hey, bro.
I honestly think that,
Oh, there you go.
Oh, not, refreshments.
Have to go back to the bathroom.
Right. I honestly think that's the best way to combat. Yes, yeah, it's going, that's recording too. It's live. It's a moose.
Okay, all right. All right.
But I think
I've been sitting there turning Hudson all weekend, man. I'm like, does it catch ghosts?
I love Ernie Hudson because you know what? He's still rocking the Ghostbusters wear. He's still rocking that.
Ernie Hudson has a 20-year-old body. Have you seen that dude?
What, he does?
Like, he has guns. I looked over like, this motherfucker's like 60 and just getting it. Like, it made me want to go back and do push-ups.
Well, think about this. If you're going to be making appearances and conventions, wouldn't you want to be like super like Lou Ferrigno ripped? Because it's like...
Have you seen Lou Ferrigno?
Oh.
Lou Ferrigno don't look like Lou Ferrigno.
He doesn't look like that anymore?
No.
Nah, who does he look like? Triple H or something?
That's Lou Ferrigno right now.
So, Theo, do you work out?
I do. I just started working out again because I have a fight in July.
Can we promote that?
What type of fighting is this?
It's through the ICMAC. I'm actually defending my world title.
Nice.
So do you follow like all the MMA stuff? Do you follow wrestling? Do you follow professional wrestling?
I do not follow professional wrestling. I'm a fan of old school professional wrestling. I had the honor of meeting Jim Cornette and Jim Duggan, and Greg the Hammer Valentine, and a couple other ones at some cons. And I geeked out, man. It's like, Jim, first off, Jim Cornette walks up to me. I'm looking at him, and he walks up to me. He's wearing a Jim Cornette shirt. And I look at his shirt, I'm like, that's Jim Cornette. Jim Cornette. Yeah.
Like the trademark.
Yeah. It was like, it was a Jim Cornette shirt. And I was like, that's Jim Cornette on a Jim Cornette. He was like, I love your show. You love my show. I love your show. And then we hung out and, you know, we had dinner a couple times.
Did he try to make you into a pro wrestler? Was like,
we actually talked about it. We talked about it.
I want to know how this negotiation came about. Like,
it wasn't a go. I drank. Okay, so, you know, when you go to like sports bars or like, there's a place called Huge Ass Burgers in Lexington, Kentucky, and is about that big, full of beer.
So like 24 inches tall.
I drank two of them. And so at that point, I talked about anything. Yeah. And so we talked about wrestling and the gimmick and whatever. And I was like, I'm down.
I want to know this gimmick. Did he pitch you a gimmick?
Well, he said he could come up. I mean, he could probably come up with one in a heartbeat. And it's like, I'm already an actor. Like, the hardest part is being a wrestler.
Yeah.
Like, jumping off of stuff. Because I've seen what those dudes do. Even faking it, it looks like it hurts like hell.
Yeah.
So, you know, but
But you hung out with Jim Cornette, though.
I hung out with Jim Cornette.
Very few people have done that, you know?
I don't know. I think Jim Cornette will hang out with most... If you, like, you know, you bring some party favors, I think Jim Cornette's down.
He'll just go to the party. He'll just go to the party.
I tried to get Jim Cornette to go to the party.
Well, what party was this? Sorority party? That would've been awesome.
Man, if I could find a sorority party...
Were you ever part?
I won't finish that statement.
Were you ever part of that, like say, like in college or anything like that, where it's like, was there a fraternity or sorority or something like that?
I was a part of college for a little bit.
Don't worry about it. It's overrated.
Honestly, fraternities are not my bag, man. I don't do well with people telling me, like, I think part of the reason I didn't go to the military is like the whole, you know, I run what you do now, like the pledging and all that stuff. I wouldn't do it. I just wouldn't do it.
I mean, I'm not gonna lie to you. I would not do that either. Like, because I feel like half the times you lose yourself, man.
Yeah.
You lose yourself.
Yeah, you become a part of it. And don't get me wrong. There are some great organizations that do some really good charitable work.
Yeah.
But Because, I mean, it's like a couple other, like, in college, like, I tried going back to college at 24.
But did you have, like, a major in mind or, like, some...
I was a graphic design major.
Were you really? Yeah. Oh, I was a graphic designer?
There you go. There you
graphic
go.
Design.
I've been commissioned to work lately, so we'll talk.
Yeah.
But I went to art school for a year, straight out of high school, and it was way too expensive.
Yeah.
And so...
Was it a straight-up art school?
Yeah, it was Atlanta College of Art.
Okay.
And they, I had to regroup for a few years.
It's funny because art school, you're talking about not going to the military or just not, you know, getting into that because it would break down your sort of your aesthetic, your soul. You know what? Art school has a potential of doing to do that to you too.
I didn't get to stay long enough to see.
Oh, you would have found out. Probably if you stayed like 7 more days, people have been like so proud, but then they're like, you have people that are going to try to morph you into something else. So sometimes.
They definitely brainwash you into a certain way of thinking.
Yeah. I indulged in way too many extracurricular activities to get brainwashed.
Yeah, that's good.
My brain was cloudy.
So looking around at Awesome Con, like, did you get a chance to at least browse a few people's stuff, or you
haven't seen anything?
Okay.
Like, I'm next to Ernie Hudson.
Yeah.
Billy West, Phil Lamar. And Xander from Buffy. I don't even know his real name. He's Xander from Buffy.
Xander.
I'm not gonna lie.
Xander.
We've talked, and I just won't address him because I know he'll get offended when I was like, "Hey, Xander."
Honest opinion, would you get offended if someone says like, "Hey, big time"?
I don't. People do it.
You know what's actually good if you do go into wrestling?
The same guy.
Just big time.
Nah,
do they own that? They probably own that.
I was known for getting my skull bashed in, man. I don't want to do that.
That is true. Unless you're like the zombie version of that coming up.
A zombie wrestler. That'd be gross.
There, I tried that.
Off the top, ooh.
He has broken in pieces. What? So you didn't call him Xander?
I just didn't address him. Like, I talked to my manager. I was like, hey, I just talked to Xander from Buffy. Like, I was a fan of Buffy. Like,
yeah. I'm a fan of Buffy.
Like, I don't know what else he's done.
I mean, but that's fine.
Yeah, I don't either. But I'm sure he's done other stuff.
I know he has. Like, he's had to eat some kind of way. Like,
I mean, yeah, as a working actor, that's how it is.
Yeah, you know,
it's not just doing one role, but it's actually, you know, continuously acting.
I do have to say though, he does look extremely adorable. As I walked by, I was like,
yeah, did you think he looked adorable?
I wanted to pinch his little Xander cheeks.
I remember Carolyn to like walk by him, and then she came back to me. She's like, oh, did you see Xander? Like, he has these glasses and this hat. He's like Snoopy, man.
He's like Snoopy? That's awesome.
I do go through a lot of moments where, like, I don't know what to call people just because I forgot their name. So I'm like, you know, you go through those times like, we're talking, but I want to say who you are. I just don't know your name. And then I'll go years. And you ever see that person? You ever have a person like that?
I've learned active listening. Like, first off, I've learned that most women at some point in general conversation will address themselves in the third person.
Oh.
It's true.
Give me an example of this.
Like, you know, so you were talking to somebody, it's like, you know, and I was going to buy this dress and I said to myself, Susan, you don't have any business buying that dress. And at that point, I was like, got it. And then
it's a strategy. Maybe they want you to know their name.
Yeah.
Hopefully. And I've also learned that if you say somebody's name 3 times in conversation, that you have a better chance of it sticking. Hey, come on in. And, you know, so there's that. That doesn't work for me as much. Like, I'm so scatterbrained, dude. I'm like, in here, I'm flighty than a motherfucker. But
yeah.
Can I say motherfucker?
I mean,
yes.
It's a real word.
Okay. Awesome. Can I say fake words?
We're unrestricted.
Oh, somebody just set the mood. Again. Keep them lights off.
That's right. Romantic.
Keep them lights off. No, don't mess with it. Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh,
what?
Oh,
so now it's a dance party.
Somebody okay. just Actually, got sexy.
It just got romantic in the room. The lighting went down a little bit.
So here's an honest question. I mean, because at the same time, I also work film production as well. And it's always that first day where you're trying to learn people's names. Is there ever a time on Walking Dead where you're trying to learn people's names, where you're like, oh, I'm going to mess up this person?
Well, fortunately, like, you get acquainted pretty quickly because you're working with them. And I go on the Walking Dead call sheet because the show was so popular. It's all coded. Listed. Like they don't list people's names. And so that sucked. But
you're just supposed to assume.
Yeah.
Leave them off. Just leave them off. It's all right.
Keep it. Yeah. Thumbs up.
Keep it romantic.
Thumbs up.
Yeah. We're setting a tone right now. That we're going for.
Look at that.
But yeah. So eventually, and I mean, it's a really popular show, so I could probably Google them. Most times I didn't really need to remember the names as much because, we're Andrew's in character 100% of the time.
Oh, so you just call him by his character name.
I could call him Rick. Yeah. I could say, hey, Rick, hey, Big Tiny. I've learned to talk to people without actually addressing them. I've learned to and be personable, and hey, and it's good to see you, and blah, 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 can't wait to see you later. Because, someone says, bye, Theo, and I see you. I'll just skip the bye, and I see you. because I'm shitty with names, man. It's embarrassing sometimes.
I'm not great with names either.
Names I know, I've actually, my kids.
Number one.
Yeah, boy. and so... I figure.
So, in the future, they're just gonna be, I'm boy.
Yeah, the boy and the girl. But, it's. I've learned to go around it. You don't have to know everybody's name.
Yeah.
I mean, there are certain situations where, if you need to call out somebody's name, you probably should know it.
Yeah.
But at that point, if you're not that acquainted, why are you doing it?
Exactly. Now, I have an honest question, and it's no secret because I'm a filmmaker too, beyond doing all this. And I'm not going to lie. Sir, you worked with De Niro. How was that? Is he intense? Is he real?
So, I have to start this off. I booked this I got the Walking Dead gig, right?
Yeah.
And I was just like, oh shit, it's about to get serious up in here. And I took a little mini vacation to Biloxi. For a weekend.
Wait, because you booked the gig? You're I need a vacation.
Yeah, I was like, I'm about to, And so I went, and I got the call, and it wasn't even an audition. I didn't even audition for the fucking movie. They were like, do you want to work on this movie?
So it's word of mouth. It's we heard of Theo.
Well, yeah, because the casting director, Megan Lewis, we're cool now. She's actually, I've read for her a few times, and we've booked a couple things together, and so she was like, you'd be perfect for it, and there are not many lines, it's mostly action, so, she just got me in, and so I cut the trip short, we went, and I met with him, and I met the director, and he was like, so do you want to do it? Yeah, all right, well, see you on set, and there's a lot of changes in schedule, so I had to wait a little bit, and on my birthday...
So this was a birthday present.
Well, wait, just wait. On my birthday, I was supposed to go in the next day or the day after to shoot, and I celebrated. And so every now and again, I'm going to say what I did.
Yeah.
But every now and again, on my birthday, I would have a song that is, whenever something good happens, that song gets played. And what, 26? It was We Want to Fuck by Parliament.
Nice.
And for that birthday, it was Backstreet Boys, Everybody.
Whoa. Wait, how do we get there?
How does that happen?
How do we get from... Was there a transition, was there a change in your life? Or I think we're in the boy band phase of my life.
I'm scatterbrained, sir. I don't know how I got there.
Because
I woke up and I said, everybody... That's it. All right. It was the first thing that came into my head that made me feel really... Because that song, when it comes on, I don't like boy bands. But every now and again, they'll put on a song God damn it, you... Sons of bitches made a hit. I can't.
You're
that, I'm not supposed to like this at all. I come from the hood. I can't like. I was in my Ford Explorer with the windows tinted,
blasting,
wearing all black, big black dude on Magazine Street. Everybody, yeah.
I'm not gonna lie. I've had that same exact fantasy of wanting to do that.
Dude, I don't even I don't hold back anymore. If I feel if I'm not gonna hurt anybody, I'm going for it. And so that day, that was the birthday song.
Did other people hear this, your friends? Were they in the car with you?
There's some, yeah.
And they were like,
they would sing along.
They're singing along?
Yeah. Nice. My friends at this point know that, if we're gonna roll, you just gotta kinda be down with it. Like, I'm gonna be me regardless. And so that set up the story. Yeah. So smoke yourself out.
Yep. You gotta clear your head, you know.
Yeah.
Or you gotta relax.
Yeah.
You gotta relax.
And then I went to
dinner. It is 4:20 today.
No, it was yesterday.
Oh, we missed it.
Nobody, I mean nobody, was celebrating.
What, are you sure no one was celebrating?
I'm sure someone was.
Me.
I was asking. Welcome to DC, sir.
Bullshit. Anyway, I went and
so you're rolling deep with boy band music playing.
Yep.
Where were you going? You're just heading.
I went to dinner by myself at my favorite barbecue restaurant in New Orleans. It's called Squeal. And I get a phone call like, "Hey, can you come in for rehearsal like now?" And I just finished and I was coming down, so I was like, "Yeah, I'm rolling." And
I'm rolling.
And I'm thinking to myself, am I gonna meet the people that I'm working? Because I knew it was John Cusack. I didn't know De Niro was in it.
Yeah.
Like Crispin Glover's in it. Dominic Purcell's in it from Prison Break.
Yeah.
And Sticky Fingers is in it. But I didn't get to meet them. My scenes were only with Robert De Niro, John Cusack, and Rebecca De Costa.
And that happens. Wow. That happens a lot. Yeah. Sometimes you just don't meet people.
Yeah. And that's fine. But like to be stuck with. But so I'm going in, and as I'm walking in, I keep thinking, like, I'm not about to meet them. It's probably gonna be like the stunt coordinator and the double, and we're just gonna go over some. So I walk in, I'm still a little cloudy, and Robert De Niro, John Cusack, and this banging Brazilian chick. I mean, Rebecca De Costa is fine as a motherfucker. Like, if you ever get a chance to just look her up, Google this woman. She is amazing.
So really, what happened when you walked in that room, you just saw a hot Brazilian chick?
No. It was because, and mind you, I'm still the faintest bit fuzzy. And so I kind of wiped my eyes a little bit like, and I didn't say much.
You're like, I'm not sure about this.
I didn't say much because I always feel like I'm going to give away the fact that I'm kind of high. And so I walk in, I'm just, it's Robin. It's John. Everybody.
If you started dancing at that moment, I would be like, what? This six-eight monster is dancing, everybody.
When I got in my car after that, I mean, you could probably hear it leaving the set. Who the fuck is playing the Backstreet Boys? Is that a ringtone? I've never been, like, when I saw it, when Robert De Niro got the set, and he's going over, because he has a really, really wordy character. Like, he's got this real crazy monologue he's doing.
Yeah.
And he's just going over his different ways of doing. He's just going. And I'm just sitting there like, Robert De Niro's acting in my face right now. He is acting in my face. I call my best friend like, he's acting in my face right now. I couldn't. Dude.
This is a movie, but it's real. It's like,
right. Like, this is like
taxi driver.
It's happening.
It's right in my face.
This is less than a month after leaving the set of The Walking Dead.
Yeah.
And Robert De Niro is acting. John Cusack sitting in a chair across from me. I'm holding the shotgun to John Cusack. And it's just like, this is my life right now.
Because you know, like, when you watch Cribs and you see all these hip hop guys and you see their crib, the poster is De Niro and Pacino. You got one half of like the icon
right.
In your face, like, acting in your face.
Acting in my face, like I had to look hard inside of giggling like a fucking schoolgirl.
did you plan like in your head? Was like, okay, I gotta say something cool to him. I gotta say something.
No, I don't do that anymore. I do not because it never works.
It never does work.
Oh, I want to hear about this bad experience.
Is there a bad experience?
Well, there is an experience. First off, with De Niro, he cracked a joke on me. I had just come from my day job, and you know, I knew I was gonna go in the costume, so I'm not worried about changing the clothes, whatever. I'm driving up. I forget what part of Louisiana we're in, and I'm in my work clothes.
Yeah.
At this point, my undershirt, because I'm like, if I stink a little bit, I could change shirts and wash up in the trailer and not worry about it in the morning.
That's why it's there.
Right, because it's an overnight shoot. And I walk up, and this is me and Robert De Niro in line or something. He's like, what, did you lose a bet? And it's like, I know I'm supposed to come up with something smart and witty, but I couldn't do anything with that. Yeah.
You just agreed.
Yeah, I did, I did. And I walked off like, God damn it, that's not how it's supposed to go down. We're supposed to be best friends because I came back with something.
All right, if you have this moment, so what would you say if you had a chance?
No fucking clue. I still have nothing. I have nothing. All right, what, did you lose a bet?
I mean, if you think about it, that's...
No.
Like, that's the best I've got. If you think about it, that's how awesome he is. It's like, you have no comeback.
Yeah, there is.
He already topped. He already topped that.
So, I mean, that was that experience.
And I mean, that's amazing, man.
So
that's
now,
a story.
Now that this is your life now, with Robert De Niro acting in front of your face...
Like, in my face.
In your face.
It was,
how did you transition from, like... a semi-graphic designer in college, I guess, to acting.
Well, no, there's a lot that happened between those things.
Yeah, was it just like a Johnny, was it like a Johnny Depp thing where you're doing something and some friend's like, hey, you should go audition?
Well, actually, kind of, but it wasn't like I didn't land a big movie when somebody said it. My first professional gig was hair. I was in a play in Seven Stages in Atlanta. It was the 30th anniversary of Hair and the 40th anniversary of Seven Stages. So it was like a big show for them. It ran for a month. And that was the first gig I ever got paid for. Huh. And
Was that like, you're like, oh my God, this is real now, you know?
No, I honestly almost didn't go. Like my friend Rob Thompson, who had been doing community theater, like he'd been producing these plays, he first cast me in Jesus Christ Superstar. And he was like, look, I think you should come and audition for this play. I think you do well.
And theater's not easy either.
No, it's not. It's
a live crowd. You
right.
Feed off of that.
And so, I mean, you gotta work with it. And so I went down, and I mean, mind you, it was the last 30 minutes of the audition period.
Yeah.
And so I made the decision, like, you know what, let me get off my ass and quit, you know, bullshit and just go down there and do it. And I got it, and that was like after the run was over, everybody else was like, oh my God, I'm so glad this is over, I'm gonna go home in my life. And I'm like, I wanna do this again.
Yeah.
Like, this is, I love this. And so that's when I made the decision, you know, but it wasn't like if the De Niro move was the first thing, like, I'd probably have slipped my wrist by now because nothing would have been as good going into it. But yeah, it was a good build up in it. You know, I learned a lot between then and now. You know, it's a hurry up and wait game.
It is.
Mm-hmm. You know, just because something really good happened right then doesn't mean it's gonna keep happening. Like, you know, like I thought after Walking Dead and Nero thing, was like, I'm gonna be a fucking star.
Yeah.
Like,
so the main lesson is save your money.
Yeah, save your money, keep your day job.
Yeah.
Like I was a massage therapist up until last week. I just retired.
But that's a pretty damn good job, too, though.
It can be. It can be. Like, the thing about it, man,
did you go to school and training for that?
Oh, yeah. I went to school 10 years ago, actually. And, like, it wears on your wrist. It wears on your body. And, I mean, some days, man, I just don't feel like touching anybody.
Well, that's me every day.
Like, some days, it's like, I don't... Naked lady, go home. I never would have to say that.
What if she's Brazilian?
I mean, there's been times, like... Oh, it's just fine as Brazilian chick to go home. I've actually said
that in my head.
Because you're treating it like a job. It's not like
pleasure. Yeah, I sucked it up and walked it off and did the job. But it was like, you know, some days you just don't have it and you got to fake it.
Yeah.
You know, it's if I'm going to do that, I'd rather it be something that I love doing massage as a hobby.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's something I do for my friends or whatever. I like making money in entertainment. Like, this is like, I've never been so passionate about anything in my life. And so, like, going to cons and, like, meeting people that enjoy what I do, like, it's just the biggest bonus I've ever, like, I had no clue that this is what, you know, it was like. And this is the bottom level. Like, I'm next to people that I've, you know, looked up to since I was a child.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it's just it's a good feel. Like, I feel like I'm doing it right.
And also, I feel like you're next to Ernie Hudson. It also shows that, like, if you're in it, you gotta be in it for, like, the long run. It's not just like, oh, your first big break. It's also like, you know, you gotta work at this. You gotta keep going at it. And it's not just like, boom, I'm famous.
Yeah, because, I mean, before Walking Dead, you know, I'd gotten some TV shows, I'd gotten some movies, and I'm like, all right, the next thing, I just wanna be prepared and do as much as I can. And I got that, and it was like, all right, well, now I need to be more serious. I need to take it even more serious and spend the time and energy and money it takes to actually elevate my career. Because, yeah. like, people think that acting is just something you go in and you do. Like, this is a craft. You have to study. You have to learn from people. Like, you go to school for this. I'm going to New York at the end of this year for 2 years to go to school for this.
I feel a lot of people just see the glamour aspect right. of it. And they don't see, like, the craft.
There are a lot of people who... You know, they're actors on a regular basis. That's how they make their money primarily.
Yeah.
They're not famous. They're not rich. They make a good living, but, you know, it's like that's just how they make their living.
And that's an honest living.
That's an honest living, you know.
Do you enjoy the audition process? Is there
I fucking hate auditioning.
Tell me why. Tell me why.
All right, so I can do all the preparation in the world. And, you know, I feel like everything that I could possibly bring for this particular role. You know, and mind you, they send you a breakdown of the character,
yeah.
like what they're like, you know, the kind of attitude they might have or whatever, and then like maybe 2 or 3 pages of what they're saying to somebody. You don't have a full background.
Yeah.
You know, you've got to build something from sometimes a line, you know, and so you go in and I have a couple of coaches that I work with, and I go in and I prepare and I do the audition, even if I feel like I did a good job, I'll leave, and it's like, I'll walk out, and you have to have, like, casting directors, like, the second you give up on yourself, that's the second they give up on you.
Yeah.
So you have to walk out confident, and I'll get in the car, or whatever, like, there's been a couple times where I just walked home, and it was like, fuck, I should have did that differently. And, like,
yeah.
I'll spend a week, like, every now and again, I'll be watching this, it's like, fuck, I should just...
And then the dish breaks.
Yeah. God damn it. And it's like,
let me do it again. Oh, I can't.
And I beat myself. I mean, it's the exact same feeling as a goddamn De Niro joke.
Yeah.
Like, fuck, I should have said something. But what? You know, it's like, yeah. what could I have done differently?
Is it one of those moments, too, when you do go to the audition that you see just multiples of you? Like, is there many moments like that?
Oh, man. So the Super Bowl came to New Orleans, right?
Yeah.
And so they had this big thing where they're casting a lot of Super Bowl commercials. And they were looking for an intimidating, burly gatekeeper, right?
Yeah.
So I walk in and I see this guy, this big white guy.
Yeah.
Same size. You know, I've seen him before, probably some other auditions. Like, all right, that's cool, whatever. I probably could be, you know. And I go in and do the audition. Like, yeah, it was great. Thanks for coming in. Then I walk out and I see this guy sitting there. Big, ugly son of a bitch. Like, fuck. He's got intimidating down. Like, he's that extra level. He got it.
But what is that? What was that extra level that you saw in him that was not in you?
Well... The things I've learned about, because, you know, going into this, I knew I was going to get typecast.
Yeah.
I'm going to be the bouncer. I'm going to be the thug. I'm going to be the goon, the blah, 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 the prisoner. Like, and that's what I'm going to use until I can either write my own or find something, like, with some real depth and dig into it. Like, I'll use that to get in.
Yeah.
You mm-hmm. know, so ha, 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 man, I do more than this. But it's like I've learned things about my particular type. And unattractive gentlemen are more intimidating. Not saying I'm the prettiest motherfucker in the world.
I mean,
I'm cute.
I'm not gonna lie.
You know,
you do have kind eyes.
Thank you.
Yeah. You have kind eyes and very expressive eyebrows.
Yeah.
Like when you're talking.
Yeah. Well, yeah. And I, you know, it's like I groom. I like ladies. I like for ladies to like the way I look. So I'm not gonna be, you know, unless I'm, you know, going through something. But anyway. but it's like if a gentleman's like a particularly unattractive or darker gentleman. Like, for some reason in casting process, a darker guy is gonna be more intimidating.
Yeah.
And so it's just a big, crazy looking dude sitting in a chair. It's like, I knew it. I mean, and it's like, I didn't count myself out, but.
Cause you always gotta at least go for it.
Yeah, oh yeah, you have to go for it. It's like, if you don't try, you failed before you walked in the door.
Yeah, half the battle's just showing up.
Right, right.
Something else I noticed in Hollywood recently that's interesting is that there's, like, these really handsome men that are, like, evil handsome. Like, Loki. Like, he's super evil.
See?
But he's handsome.
He's, like, girlishly pretty to me. Like,
yeah, but he has that too. But have you, like, there's also a guy from, like,
Paul Rubens and Sigourney Weaver.
Paul Rubens.
You know who, like looking at your persona right now, you know who I think you'd be awesome that you work with? And just seeing, like, just the way you put yourself together, it would be awesome to see you in the Judd Apatow circle.
Oh, man.
I think that would be great, especially off the with your extracurricular activities.
So have you gotten into comedy?
If I could, I mean, just, and that's the thing, it's like, that's part of the reason why I love doing this and going to film. I'm cutting the lights on. Anyway, going to film.
It stopped being romantic in here.
Yeah, right? It's not sexy anymore. I can't do this. But no, but like, if I could just be in a room, like, with somebody that can say something to somebody, like, I know, you know, because that's the way I think. Like, that brand of comedy, like, I've been practicing fucked up humor all my life. Yeah. Like, we have the worst, me and my friends are some of the worst people I know when it comes to stuff like that. Like,
have you known these friends basically forever? Or?
Yeah, like, I have a circle of friends that I've known about 16, 17 years now.
I think it's good to have that circle.
It is, it really is. Like, my best friend's made his mission in life to remind me that, one, that even though I might be a little bit famous, I'm still the motherfucker from boarding school.
Yeah.
And two, that ain't shit. Like,
I just want to remind you that you ain't shit.
Right.
Let's go to McDonald's.
So, I mean, but it's good to have that. Like, people that want you to be, like, retain whatever it is that got you there in the first place. Like, I appreciate it.
Yeah, sometimes, like, when you're at that level, it's good to have people say no to you. You don't want to end up being like Michael Jackson or something.
Yeah, yeah.
Just getting a free run.
I'm very easily wrangled. Like, people don't understand, like, when we go out for, like, Saturdays and we're, you know, drinking or whatever, like, if I get hammered, I'm the most easygoing motherfucker in the world. Like, all right, Theo, we got to go. All right, I'll see you guys later. I'm just going to, like, it's just like a,
That's good that, like, for a guy your size, and for some people that can seem very intimidating, when you do get drunk, that you get kinder.
Yeah,
that feels nice. That's good for the rest of the world.
I'm giggly drunk. It's embarrassing.
What do you mean giggly drunk?
Dude, I freaking giggle. Like, like, it's not even bubbly. It's just giggly.
Like cheerleader giggly? They're just like, everything's so funny all of a sudden, like that?
Kind of. Like, if you mixed a Care Bear, a Girl Scout, and Harry and the Hendersons. Because it's like this big lumbering motherfucker is just like rosy cheeked and like that's what you like. And I'll go in, like, if I'm rolling with you, like, it's time to go through. All right, I'll see you guys later. It's fun. It's a smack your booty. Let's go. But
I think that's how you should end, like, go leave every club. All right, and then just random ass just out there.
Your girl, guy, I don't care, whoever. Club owner's like, pow, love your face.
So did you already look up to certain actors, like, when you wanted to be an actor, you're like, it's because of that guy? Or was there a moment where you
honestly, the reason that I started acting, and the reason that I really chose to get into it was my mom. It's funny, like, most people, like, when they say I'm going to be an actor, it's like, you should be a doctor, you should be a blah blah blah. My mom was like, why are you wasting time, and just go fucking do some acting, you know you like it. Like, my mom's been wanting me to be an actor since I was a kid. I don't, like, it's the weirdest, most ass-backward thing. Like,
what else were you doing besides that?
I mean,
I want to fight. No, you should act.
No, well, yeah, my mom does not like me fighting. Like, to this day, my mom sent me a YouTube video of Boss Rutan's How to Block. Like, it was like, really? But
Mom, I'm a world champion.
She doesn't give a fuck. Like, she still reminds me, because I used to box, like, underground in clubs and stuff when I was, like, 19, 20.
Like some Kimbo Slice style?
I mean, not quite as underground, but, like, it was, like, in a club. There's a ring, but, I mean, it's whoever wanted to sign up, you know, you don't know who you're getting in the ring with.
So what you're saying is that you were actually part of Fight Club.
Kind of. So kind of. But it was way grimier.
Oh,
like,
man.
It's funny, like, aside from the fact that they were trying to, like, end the way we live our life, like, there's this dude that promoted fights. His name was Hardbody. And
now,
that was his, not his given name. that it was just
his gimmick name.
It was his gimmick name, yeah. It's funny because like it was him and his brother, right? And they both fought as well.
I don't know if I want to be named Hardbody if I'm going.
You gotta see him. If I could show you a picture of Hardbody. Like, and everybody, nobody knew his real name. And he had a brother named Abomination.
Jesus.
Right.
This is the best tag team I've ever heard.
Like, these motherfuckers can't straight out G.I. Joe. Like,
yeah, I know. That's amazing.
But,
did you have a name?
They
didn't give you a gimmick name,
right? They called me Sasquatch, but I really didn't like that.
Well, I understand that.
Like, I've been called a lot of things, and that was one, that's like, one of my least favorites, but Hardbody ran these fights.
He's named Hardbody.
Yeah, his name was Hardbody. He named himself Hardbody.
But he ran. Where were these fights usually held? Like,
okay, so there's a strip club in Atlanta.
I mean, that's the best place.
Yeah.
And it was Club Nikki VIP. Still, you can talk to some people in Atlanta. It has a reputation as the grimiest, most dirty, filthy. It was the worst, best strip club in Atlanta. Like, it had the reputation, like, it's been closed for over a decade and people still remember this place. I was a bouncer there. And they asked me if I wanted to fight. You know, I learned to box when I was 14. So I started training myself and I went in and.
So you already knew mentally you had the one up on some stranger that's just gonna swing away.
No, because like, you don't know who you're fighting. Like, my first fight, I went in and everybody was like, look, be careful. This dude is known for knocking out big dudes. So I'm like, well, fuck that. Knock me out. Yeah. God, no. And, you know, I got youthful vigor on my side or whatever. And so I'm fighting this dude. And, like, the first round, I'm just giving him all I got. Like, you are not knocking me down. You're not knocking me out.
But what's the
here.
What's the surrounding? Is it, like, okay, just an open? But this, you said it's a ring, right?
It's a ring inside a strip club.
What? Right? Where are you going
to
put the ring?
So,
on the stage?
Around the stage, yeah. And so you got, like, strippers still giving dances around.
Oh, they're still doing dances while you're fighting? Dances.
The DJ is actually playing music in between rounds.
Do they intro you?
Yeah, they intro you. And that's
Little Nicky is up next. Don't forget, Theo is up to fight.
Yeah, and so and so you got dudes still getting dances. Some dudes like, yeah, you want to see somebody get knocked out or whatever. You know, they're betting money on the ring.
They're not throwing money.
No.
All right, that was a little bit.
I was hoping, but But yeah, so I fought this dude and...
All right, so statistic-wise, where are you, where is he, if you remember?
Okay, so he was about a foot shorter than me.
So he's 5'8".
But about as wide as I am.
All right.
With arms about as long as mine. He was built like a fucking gorilla. And, like, I'm giving him the what for, because he's got this reputation, and the round is over. And right before I go back to my corner... He sucker punches me right here.
What? That's
like ding! I put my hands down, just boom, and everything left my body. It was like a black hole opened up right there, and my breath is.
Because that's like hitting the sternum. That hurts. Man,
yeah,
because it's like that's important.
Yeah, and so I went and sat in my corner, and I'm talking to this guy. Did you see what he just did to me? Is that legal?
Well, but who are you talking? Did you have like?
I had a guy in my corner. I mean, he didn't know shit about boxing, but
was he like one of your entourage, or
I
just
didn't
some,
have a,
he's
I,
just some dude.
It was just some dude that was like, "I'll be in your corner." And so, the next two rounds, I spent trying to catch my breath. He won on points, and it was
I
like,
didn't even know they're keeping points in this.
And it's not real points. It's like who looked like they
who's
won.
Judging?
Right. Who's judging? I don't fucking know.
You're like Cindy's.
I've never actually met the judges. But the funny
is they're dancing.
Probably. Like in between dances. He was cutest, so I'm gonna give that to him.
Yeah, but 4 points.
But my next fight, I fought Abomination.
Wait, but who won that one?
No, he won that one on points.
Oh, he won only on points. See, by points, I don't count.
See, and as far as fighting goes, I've never been knocked down. I've never been like knocked off my feet. I've been concussed once, but I've never actually been like knocked down. So that's my claim.
That's good.
That's very good.
So now Abomination's next.
Abomination's next.
Did you do any research? Did you knew he was next?
No.
Oh, so it was just out of blue.
Whenever you sign up, They sign, they give you a waiver that you can't sue anybody involved, and then you wait and see who else signs up. So a lot of people will wait for somebody they don't know to sign up, and then the people they know that can fight will sign up last. And so Abomination signs up last, and mind you, I still work at this club.
So you're so employee if, of the establishment.
If I actually lose, I'm pretty much fired.
Because, like, your credibility is...
Right.
It's like, well,
exactly.
He's not going to bounce anybody.
Exactly. So, and I have to think about this every fight. And I don't know why I'm doing this. It's fucking dumb. But, so I fight Abomination. And we're going back and forth. It's the first round.
Was he pretty good?
Well, we had the headgear, right?
Okay.
It's the old school headgear with the holes right here.
What about the on your hands?
We got gloves. We got gloves, right. Yeah. And he punches me in the ear hole. Mm. And... The account that I heard from one of my friends that I work with, he was like, oh no, he's already
there. I was like, what is he?
I actually could see the ring and he was standing right there. Sorry.
It's visual in your mind.
Yeah, yeah. But he said I did this and I made this crazy face. And then out of the corner of my eye, I could see him coming to hit me again. And it was just instinct. I just swung and I knocked him out.
Nice.
it was purely instinct. I was not thinking at all. I was just like, I don't want that again.
That's reflex.
Because he hit so hard. I've been hit harder since, but that was like at that point in time, the hardest I'd ever been hit by anything or anyone in my life.
And what statistically, where is he on you?
He's about my size.
Okay, so then that's equal.
Except, you know, remember the He-Man action figure? Back in the 80s, he was built like that. Yeah. His name was fucking Abomination. Like, what do you expect?
I'm expecting Abomination from, like, the Hulk. He's like an amalgam of, like, human.
Like, Wendigo. Yeah. But, yeah, so, he fell like that. And it's like...
You dropped him.
Yeah, and so, I won a fight, and I won $700 in $1 bills.
Now...
Yes.
So to spend
I have
on the strip
of
one,
it's like this big, right? Because I mean, it's a fucking strip club. Like, what else did I pay with? Won a check, one took it. And Hard Body, at the end of the night, is like, so, where do you live? I was living with my mom at the time. So, where do you live? With my mom. She home?
That's a weird question to ask, man.
Yeah. Yeah. Basically, Hard Body was a pimp on the side.
Oh.
And he was trying to get me to spend the money I just earned on one of his girls.
Were they the ones at the strip club as well?
Some
or,
of them.
Or a separate LLC?
Fast forward like 10 or 12 years, Hardbody's on the news. He got arrested for pimping. Like, he had a ring, an official prostitution ring. One of his girls got away and ran to the police. And that was
the last you heard of Hard Body.
Yeah. I was actually sitting at home and I was looking at the news for some reason. I was like, finally got him.
Did they like refer to him as Hard Body like in the text?
They said like whatever
like,
his
that's amazing.
Whatever his first name, Hard Body, whatever his last name. It was like
did they show a picture?
Yes.
How did he look?
So
like?
Hard Body, and he looked exactly the same. Hard Body, black guy, you know, whatever looking. He had a high top fade, right?
This like part, Kevin Clay style?
Not too high. Like right here, right? This part
like
was
Scottie
gold.
Pippen.
Yeah, it was like this part was gold, and the rest was black. And his beard, he had a Hulk Hogan thing right here. But the rest was black, and like it was crazy. Like he looked like a cartoon character. Like,
but shouldn't pimps look like cartoon? Whenever I think of a pimp, I'm just like, man. Come on now, they gotta be full on.
They really should.
Just surprisingly, how cops don't already just be like, that's.
Well, because they're paying them. Well, they were.
Oh, yeah.
Like, because another thing I learned about working in Nikki VIP is that pimps are real. Pimps are real. There is a pimp named Scooby.
That's a great name, though.
I have to say this out loud because I've never actually said it up. There's a pimp named Scooby Doo.
He's like, you looking for some Scooby snacks?
Scooby snacks?
Bitch, better have my Scooby snacks. But yeah, Scooby pimp from prison. Like, he was in prison, his girls would bring him money. Like, it was the most amazing thing. Like, I learned so much. Like, I've done that.
You're like, I know this business. What? This just seems like a good business plan here.
From that point on in my life, pimps go to prison. Yeah. That's all I know. Pimps go to prison, and not for me. So I've done that. I've cooked for a living. Let's see. My first job was as a ranch hand.
A ranch hand. Like a dude ranch?
At a horse ranch, yeah.
Oh, nice.
I get to ride horses and, you know, wrangle them, ride them around people, and groom them, all that stuff.
So you got a little Western in you. You got a little...
It was in Atlanta.
That's pretty cool.
That's awesome, because then you can add, like, horseback riding to your resume.
Well, I can't, because I was 14, okay. And right now, I can't fit a horse.
Do you have... You're in the back, though, sitting on, like, headshots or resumes. You know there's, like, the special skill sets. Do you have anything that's sort of, like... You just put there just to see. I wonder if they'll react to that, you know?
I honestly have to look back and see, because there's, I know it's
so you have
something.
Like massage.
I don't know, like, what they would put me in. I'm afraid that kind of movie wouldn't be on HBO. But, I 17 years of martial arts. I draw and paint. There's something else. It's whatever. I forget what else. But yeah, like I'm going back. Like I played. Like I don't admit this very much anymore. But I did play football a little bit.
Why don't you admit that?
Because everybody, like growing up, everybody was like, "You should play football. You ought to play football. Why aren't you playing
That's
football?"
That's when you really get typecast.
Football.
Yeah. Yeah. It was like I heard it so much that I started to think that people's only opinion was that I was destined to be a football player because I couldn't do shit else. Like, it was a shitty feeling. It's like, I actually had a woman at Kmart. She was like, do you play football?
It's just like that. I actually have a ball with me.
Would you like to play right now? No, like, she was like, do you play football? I was like, no, I was in art school at the time. She's like, mm-hmm. I'm actually in art school. I wouldn't have thought you was that smart. She said that to me. I just walked off. This is before I really knew how to speak my mind.
Yeah.
I just kind of walked off like, why would you think that's okay to say to me? I think that's the first time my feelings were actually hurt. I mean, it was just like, and also, I was confused.
It probably hurt even more because she didn't know that that's something that's hurtful to say, you know?
Yeah, and first off, you don't have to be smart to go to art school.
Yeah.
Sometimes people are like, I don't know, I can't do anything else. I guess I'll go draw or go do that.
I mean,
people always thought that that's like the easiest class.
Right.
They're just like, yeah, I'll just paint something.
What do you think is the hardest job? Because you fight and now you act, you know, and that's a lot, those are hard. But if you were to take everything out, what is like a real difficult job?
See, it goes person to person. It's like what you're, you know, what you excel at and what your weaknesses are. Like, for me, it'd be a mathematician.
Really?
Like, I can do regular arithmetic. I can count money well, but...
Because you know what? There's a joy in that.
There is. I have this ritual that I actually got from working at clubs and stuff. You know, you get money on the side.
Yeah.
I like to count my money in the bathroom.
Like, you sit down?
I don't sit. I'll go in the stall and lock the door. And I'll just I like it. It's almost like relief. I go in the bathroom and like a friend of mine actually went to pee and he heard it. It was like, I figured that's what you were doing.
Wait, what do you mean? when he heard you, were you counting it out loud?
I wasn't counting, but you could hear.
You can hear the dollar bills. Like,
yeah, it's like I like to count money in the bathroom.
I'm picturing like a Scrooge McDuck, just like sitting in the can, like counting that.
Now, if I ever get enough money to swim in, first off, I'm sanitizing, but then,
because
I don't want to come back with like herpes all over.
Yeah. Oh no.
And a coke habit.
I'm not gonna lie. Right now, I want to count money in the bathroom.
Dude, I'm telling you, it's like some because like that's the safest place in the club. Like, you know,
it is.
You can see everybody because I can
You're
see
protected.
Over the stall, so I can see everybody coming in. Like, I have a door between me. Like, if somebody want to do something, I have a strategy. And it's like it just transferred over to like any other time I'm counting money. It's serious. And so every time I have like cash that I need to count, like I've actually been at cons, like last day, I was like, all right, let's see how I did. Go to the bathroom real quick.
Why is Theo always going to the bathroom?
But I have rules. Like I don't like to count before, you know, the whole thing is over. And because, I mean, there's a chance you lose the money.
Yeah.
And I like to count in the bathroom.
So, we have to wrap up pretty soon, but, like, just real quick, like, who else do you want to work with? Like,
Anybody, everybody. I'll work with you, y'all, whoever's doing something. Like, I'm at the point now, like, I've gotten some, I've actually, from the most random places, like, I've gotten scripts that are really interesting. Like, there's one, they want me to play the devil. And
I think that's a good choice.
But it's a really good role. Like, I'm looking at it, it's like, it's not the traditional, like, ha ha ha. It's actually from the standpoint of a fallen angel. Like, there's still some compassion left. There's still a little bit, but he's still, you know, a trickster.
I think that's actually been a pretty cool role.
Yeah, and it really is. And it's a really, like, it's some interesting dialogue and just the way, because, like, Gabriel and Michael, the, you know, legend or whatever there, and so his interaction with them, it's like, it's almost like, you know, brothers that you feel slighted by.
Yeah.
You know, so it's a really interesting take on the story. And so I'm definitely looking forward to that. And I felt weird sitting next to Ernie Hudson, because when I heard they were making the next Ghostbusters movie, I'm like, I want to be like Ernie Hudson's like nephew or something. I want to be, because you know how awesome
you got to get in on that.
That's how it happens. It's like you got to drop the idea in this head.
Yeah, I was. I actually talked to his manager. Like, and he was like, "Yeah, you could be like his son." I'm like, "Yeah, you get it.
This is what you got. I think what you got to do is you got to make the idea feel like it's coming from Ernie, though. You know, it's like, you gotta be like...
He's like, I came up with that.
You want me to mind fuck Ernie Hudson?
That's what you gotta do. With my limited status in Hollywood right now, I feel like that's what you gotta do. You gotta make it feel like it's their idea.
At the very least, I want him to think it's a good idea.
Yeah.
You know, like, if he talks, it's like, I know this guy. But...
You just happen to text me right now, too.
Right, like, he texts me every 15, 16 minutes. So, he checks up on me a lot. But, man.
I think I definitely want to see you in more stuff.
Me too.
I mean, just hanging out with you just for this hour has been a pleasure. I had no idea. I was scared. I'm not scared. But now, like, this guy, I want to see this guy succeed. I want him to be on Ghostbusters. I want him to be in... with the Judd Apatow circle, you know?
Oh, my God. I met Craig...
Craig Robertson?
I keep wanting to call him Craig Ferguson. That's a Scottish dude. But I met Craig Robertson. It was the first time I'd ever... I live in New Orleans.
Yeah.
It was the first time I'd ever, like, overdrank and stayed in a bar till dawn, like, past dawn. And he came in and was shooting pool. And just, I was like, what the fuck am I still doing here? God, how much did I spend? I gotta go home.
How much did I spend?
Did you go to the bathroom to count how much money you spent?
But that's why I was like, is that the motherfucker from the...
Is that the doorman from Knocked Up?
Yeah, and I was just like...
Yeah, yeah.
I can't talk to him. I can't go talk to him. No, I gotta go. It's like, because I don't, you know... I know people, like, when they're not shooting or not, like, when celebrities, like, they're busy. They want to do shit. They want to just have a life. So I'm not going to be like, hey, man, I would love if you could just talk to somebody. Here's my headshot and resume. No, I just don't want to be that guy.
Have it with me.
Right.
None of us want to be that guy.
You know, I just don't want to be that guy. So I just left. And, you know, they shot something in New Orleans. And that was the first time. Like, I spoke to him, but, like, I actually... When I meet celebrities, I try to put as little attention on as possible.
Yeah.
You know, it's just like, I kind of imagine how they might feel, like somebody constantly walking up, talking about some shit they really don't want to think about right now.
Yeah, because they do that all the time. That's their work.
Right. So, you know, I smoke weed with them, maybe, you know.
I mean, but that's how you bond. That's how you get those roles, man.
Like, if I had it, I was like, hey, Craig, I know you're busy and stuff, but I... got this thing.
you can have it.
Yeah, you can have it. You can share it with me. Go talk.
Thank you so much for being on our show.
Thank
you.
It's
my pleasure.
And catch up in the future.
Absolutely. You know? And, you know, if you guys are doing, like, I want to start doing shorts, like short films.
I do shorts all the time.
Joe has a project called One Shots.
OneShots.com, and basically we're doing shorts, like micro shorts, just beautiful scenes or anything. Like,
nice.
So I'm down.
Hyphen in between the one shots.
Yeah, one-shots.com.
As opposed to
no
spelling it out.
Yeah.
Is there a difference, like, in the meaning?
No.
Okay.
But it looks weird once together.
There's actually a comic book reference to that.
Yeah, it's a comic book reference.
Because a one shot is just like a standalone story.
Okay.
So it's the same thing. Nice. As these.
I actually just did a short where I was a serial killer on his first date.
Hey, that's romantic.
And the lights go down.
There was like bloody pillow talk.
I like that, man. Yeah. I like that a whole lot.
So,
so hopefully we'll work together in the future. Then
absolutely,
we'll see what
absolutely.
Happens. We'll see what happens.
I'm doing live action Venture Brothers.
Oh,
yeah,
nice.
Tame Brock Simpson.
Well, thank you, everybody. That's our show.
Hey, so I hope everyone enjoyed the live recording from AwesomeCon of the Carolyn and Joe Show with special guests with The Walking Dead's Theo Crane. It was pretty uncensored. It was pretty raw. What'd you think about that strip club story, Carolyn?
That was my favorite one.
It was pretty wild. And, next week you're going to see, what's the District Comics panel?
Yes.
Cool. So you guys are really in for that. But just so you know, this show is brought to you by StrayProductions.com. Also, don't forget to check out GoStray.com. Also, did you guys know that I make a lot of films, and that's basically what I do? I'm going to have a new film series. It's called one-shots.com. It sounds like and looks like one-shots.com, but there's a hyphen in between. What do you got, Carolyn?
I have a webcomic called Curls, but you should call it a comic strip, because everything's online now. So go to curls-studio.com to read it. And we should not forget Theo Crane. Check him out. Just Google his name, and you'll find out more, and you can probably also IMDb him.
Yes. So thanks for listening, guys, and we'll catch you all next week. See you later, Carolyn.
See you.